It's the most wonderful time of the year. With the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer. It's the most wonderful time of the year. It's the happiest season of all. Holiday greetings and gay happy meetings when friends come to call. It's the happiest season of all. There'll be parties for hosting, marshmallows for toasting, and caroling out in the snow. There'll be scary ghost stories and tales of the glories of Christmases long, long ago. It's the most wonderful time of the year. There'll be much mistletoeing and hearts will be glowing when loved ones are near. It's the most wonderful time of the stories and tales of the glories of Christmases long, long ago. It's the most wonderful time of the year. There'll be much mistletoeing and hearts will be glowing when loved ones are near. It's the most wonderful time. Yes, the most wonderful time. Oh, the most wonderful time of the year.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Chocolate Milk with Shelby
and Tiana. So, our topic for tonight is immigration, and with this, we'll sort of talk about Donald Trump's presidential campaign, but that's not really the focus that we're going to go with. Joining us tonight is Dahlia Lorenzo, and she's a junior early education major. She's also the new president of Viva, the president of Sisters United, and the chaplain for DZ, and a member of Treehouse, which is a small living unit dedicated to bringing awareness to environmentalism and ways to be greener in our everyday lives.
Oh, hi.
So besides that, our topic for tonight, I'm mainly just going to be playing some holiday music. I've tried to include, there's a Hanukkah song and a Kwanzaa song in here as well, so I'm trying to make it not just Christmas, because I'm aware not everyone celebrates Christmas. So that's what's on the show for tonight.
So to start off our discussion, I'm going to read some stuff from our immigration policy, because I feel as though with a lot of the things that I've seen people say, with a lot of the things that newscasters say, people don't really understand how the United States immigration system works. So it's a very complex law, and the Immigration and Naturalization Act, which is the law governing current immigration policy, provides an annual worldwide limit of 675,000 permanent immigrants, with the exception of certain close family members. And Congress and the President determine a separate number for refugee admissions. So those are two completely different things. Not that you would think that with how the GOP is talking about Syria and all of the other refugees who need a place to call a safe haven or a new home. So first we have family-based immigration, and it has 480,000 family-based visas available every year here in America. And it allows U.S. citizens and lawful permanent residents to bring certain family members to the U.S. So they will have to be spouses, unmarried minor children, so under the age of 21, and parents of U.S. citizens. And the petitioner for this has to be at least 21 years old to petition to be the parent of a minor. And there are some limitations to this. Adult children who are married and the brothers and sisters of U.S. citizens must petition. They also must be at least 21 years old. And spouses and unmarried children, minor and adult, of legally lawfully permanent residents also have a different system that they have to go under. Second, we have temporary visas, and these are based under employment. So how we have British people and Canadians coming over and staying here, like Drake and Bieber and all of those other people, and Iggy Azalea, they fall under this category with a temporary visa. And there's a preference category as well that allows them to stay a certain amount of time, and it's also somewhat based on how much money that they're bringing in with them. So we have category one, and these are persons of extraordinary ability in arts, science, education, blah blah blah. So like when Einstein came over for a while and he stayed here during the 1960s and all that, and he basically bashed America for being racist. Yeah, he was under that category. So, and then there's five categories, the last one being persons who will invest $500,000 to $1 million in a job creating enterprise that employs at least 10 full-time U.S. workers. So it can go based from how much skill you have, and other professional holdings that someone might have, or religious work, down to how much profit you can bring into America, because we're a capitalistic society, so why not? The third category is for refugees and other vulnerable populations. So if you're not able to return to your home country because of a well-founded fear of persecution due to race, membership in a social group, political opinion, religion, or national origin, this also includes if you are a transgendered individual and your home country will kill you, you fall under this category of people. And so there's for the fiscal year of 2013, the amount of refugee ceiling that we have here that the president set was Africa was 12,000, East Asia was 17,000, Europe and Central Asia 2,000, Latin America and the Caribbean 5,000, Near East South Asia 31,000, and the rest on reserve for anywhere was 3,000. If you're seeking asylum, and this is where people who are transgender, people who are, I guess, telling the truth about their country, but their country doesn't really want them to, so they leave the country. Yes, I'm throwing shade at America right now, because we clearly did that with someone who went to Russia. Someone who's seeking asylum is allowed to petition to stay here for 1 year upon arriving in the U.S. And there's no limit on the number of individuals who may be granted asylum within a given year, nor are there specific categories for determining who may seek asylum. And then refugees and those seeking asylum are eligible to become lawful permanent residents 1 year after admission to the U.S. So I guess this is where the Republicans have a problem. So the diversity in the visa program is a next category, and it's basically a lottery that was created by the Immigration Act of 1990, and it was dedicated for immigrants from countries with low rates of immigration to the U.S. So if there are under 50,000 immigrants to the U.S. from a country in the previous 5 years, they have, this country is allowed to, or the people of this country are allowed to fall within the 55,000 visas that are allocated randomly to those wanting to come over. So yay America for wanting to be diverse and then trashing that diversity. Our fifth category is humanitarian relief. So temporary protected status is granted to people who are in the U.S. but cannot return to their home country because of natural disaster, extraordinary temporary conditions, or ongoing armed conflict. So I guess this also can apply to those in Syria and the Middle East. And then we have deferred enforced departure. This allows individuals protection from deportation whose home countries are unstable, therefore making their return dangerous, also applying to refugees. And then we have category six, which is the last category, and it's about U.S. citizenship. And in order to qualify for U.S. citizenship through naturalization, an individual must have a legal permanent or lawful permanent resident status, a green card, for at least 5 years or 3 years if he or she obtained the green card through U.S. citizen spouse through the Violence Against Women Act. And there are other exceptions for members of the U.S. military who serve time of war or declared hostilities, and applicants for U.S. citizenship must be at least 18 years old, demonstrate continuous residency, good moral character, pass English and U.S. history and civics exams. So really, it's not that hard. They could go to take history class for like fifth graders and make sure that they can speak English, and you're good to go. That's pretty much. So this is the from the American Immigration Council. So this is not a lie, and it was updated March 1st, 2014. So yeah, and yeah. So there's your facts, and I will post this on our little page later, so that way if you want to read it because you're not believing me, you can. So yeah.
All right, so back to the music before we discuss immigration some more. So yeah, this is Feliz Navidad.
I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas.
So, before we get back to our discussion on immigration, I'm going to play one more song. And the song is for those of you who celebrate Hanukkah. And it is Hanukkah, O Hanukkah.
Of days long ago, one for each night they shed a sweet light to remind us of days long ago. Oh Hanukkah, come light the menorah. Let's have a party, we'll all dance the hora. Gather round the table, we'll give you a treat. So all we need to play with the lockies to eat. And while we are playing, the candles are burning. Shed a sweet light to remind us of days long ago.
That was Hanukkah, O Hanukkah.
So, speaking of Christmas and all of these other religious holidays that we have coming up in this month, started or not started yet, let's talk about the family impact of immigration. So, first I want to talk about just the amount of children who go into the system, and by that I mean the adoption and orphanage and all of that other stuff, foster system. There's a lot. It's a very high percentage. Before I get to the numbers around that, I want to say that among children who have undocumented parents or siblings, a 2013 report by the Human Impact Partners found that nearly 75% of undocumented parents reported that their children had experienced symptoms of PTSD. And also with that comes depression and anxiety and all of these other feelings because they have very unstable lives at knowing that there are a bunch of people out here in the U.S. who want to send their family back to an uncomfortable living situation in some way, or a dangerous living situation, or the fact that since they were born here and their parents or siblings weren't, that they might possibly never see their family again, which is actually a very high possibility. And I'll talk about that a little bit later.
Well, yeah, going off of that, I believe that so much because there was actually one time in middle school where I had my good friend Denise, and it was just really hard to say goodbye to her because her parents had to go back to Mexico. Mm-hmm. And she, of course, didn't have anybody here to take care of her, so she had to go back with them. And I know she promised me and my other best friend that I still talk to right now. Well, she's still my best friend. But she promised both of us that she'll come back one day, and she never did. And so it was just really hard because it was us saying to each other, like, we'll see each other again, but mm-hmm. knowing that we actually weren't yeah. going to see each other. And so I think we lost contact with her when we were, like, in 2 years after that, when everything switched to Facebook and we no longer had MySpace. So we couldn't invite her anymore. So I know she's, like, in Mexico, but it was just really hard because it was... Those are the times where, like, she understood she had to go back and she yeah. couldn't stay here because she had pretty much no one here. And so it's also the idea of not only that some children are left here and go into the system, but at times it is children going back
yeah.
and them not knowing anything about that culture as well. It's like starting all over again in mm-hmm. a different place. And I think that's what she was most scared of, too. She's like, I never visited Mexico. Now she needs to build her whole life there right. after being in the United States for, like, 15 years?
Yeah.
And that's actually a really big thing, is the cultural impacts that come out of this. Is, like, there are a lot of psychological impacts that go with being not only disrupted and uprooted and all of that, but especially when it's done and you have to figure out a new culture, you have to figure out new nuances, you have to figure out a new language, and that's not even, like, the official language. It's, like, going with the slang and all of that stuff, because you never know. At, like, 15 going into school down there in Mexico, like, you could say something that's offensive and not even know it because this isn't your culture. So it's just, there's a lot that goes with being uprooted like that. And it's definitely hard on everyone in the situation. And I think a lot of people forget that a lot of the people who are immigrants here, illegal or not, have so many strong ties with so many different people that, like, suddenly this person being gone disrupts multiple lives. Not just, like, you're not just sending someone back to the country of origin that they come from, you're disrupting lives. There's, like, school teachers I know that they petitioned... all of them together petitioned to stay here in America, and they won. But there's a lot of times where there's school teachers, counselors, and other people who directly affect the lives of children within our school system, and they're making a positive impact, that are sent back to their country of origin because somebody found out something and they got them deported, which is just... cruel, I think. The Obama administration has directed immigration officials to prioritize the deportation of people with criminal records and prior immigration violations over undocumented immigrants who have strong family ties to the U.S. But even though that's happening, deportations continue to happen at record levels. Nearly 438,500 expulsions in 2013 happened, which is an increase of more than 20,000 removals since the previous year. So... This is a pretty hefty number of people being kicked out of the U.S. when we have space. There's this one remarkable woman, I guess. She lives in Florida.
and she is the guardian of more than 800 American children whose immigrant parents have decided to not gamble the U.S. foster care system. So instead of when they're leaving and putting their children in the foster care system in order to hopefully help them find the family and continue that dream of them having a better life, they hand them over to this woman, basically, and she signs off all of this paperwork, or their parents do, entrusting her to take care of their children in the event that they're deported. And so, God bless her. taking care of over 800 children is a lot, but the fact that she does it because she wants these children to have a stable life, and I think that's a really beautiful thing.
I mean, it's hard to, like, let go of a child. I mean, like, I don't have a child, but, like, I have, like, my two little brothers, and, like, they, like, it was just hard for me to let go of them to come back here after Thanksgiving, even though I'm, like, gonna see them in, like, a few days. It was just, like, really hard. So, like, but I get that, like, all through my life, I was, like, my parents told me, like, oh, we came here because of you. So, like, you need to go to school, and, like, and you need to, like, just keep on going, and it's gonna be a better life. And I'm like, that's so true, because, like, even back home, and it's, like, it's such a good atmosphere to be in when my parents are, like, just keep going, and, like, this is just for you. I mean, there's a lot of pressure, too, on us, like, to succeed and whatnot. But, like, it's still, like, after a few years, you understand the value of being here and why a lot of, like, people, like, at least from my family, come to the United States.
Right.
But also, like, understanding... Sorry, I lost my train of thought now. But also understanding that it's hard, like, these people leave their child here to be taken care of, but it's, like, one of the hardest things to do. And knowing just, like, even being in this country, you'll have, like, a bunch of opportunities. Because even, like, my mom was never allowed to go to school because she had to stay home and take care of, like, the farm and, like, her parents. And it was just, like, such a huge difference of, like, being here and being there.
Right.
And, like, how you said, like, people come here because their countries are unstable.
Right.
And I feel like we've been so low on, like, knowing how much trouble Latin America is actually in, and like how parts of it still need a lot of work.
Yeah.
And not really focusing on that yet, and like, or like forgetting about, like, no, that shit's still happening, and like we need to do something about it, because, you know, good old United States likes to intervene and everything. So
yeah.
So it's just like it's really hard, and like these big, like, how do you say, when these children are taken away, and like they need to stay here because their parents really do want them to have a better life. And I don't think people remember that. It's like, it's such a hard thing to do.
Yeah, it definitely is. Like, I mean, I don't ever plan on having children, but I wouldn't want them to be taken away from me, or have to, like, make this choice that, oh, yeah, I'm going to leave you here and possibly never talk to you or see you again just so you can have a better life. Like, that's, like, a really powerful thing, and it's part of the reason why I'm, like, really amazed by this one woman down in Florida who chooses to say, hey, like, I understand what you're doing, and I will take care of your child. Like, I'll make sure that they go to a good school and have a healthy upbringing, and look at all these other kids who are in the same situation as them. So even though you're leaving them and they'll be lonely and stuff, there's people who they can relate to directly and possibly not lose the culture
that they're coming from, not lose the language and all of this other stuff. And I just think, like, it's a really amazing thing that she's doing.
Yeah. I think, like, that how you said, like, she is, like, I believe in your cause. It's, right. like, great. Because, like, even, like, fucking this year, like, Donald Trump, like, saying all these things about, like, immigrants that are coming in and, like, and so it's, like, a lot of, like, where people are, like, no, but I really just came here for, like, a better life. And then right. somebody just standing up and being, like, no, I believe you, and I'll, like, mm-hmm. do this for you because I know why you did it kind of thing. And it's, yeah. like, I feel like it's a very strong, it's, like, so amazing to just hear somebody said, like, I believe you. I feel like it makes such a difference because now you know that this person is trustworthy and this person will actually take care of these children that really do need it because yeah. like how we said before, like so many different cultures all together and it's
yeah,
like
so many. But yeah. Yeah. It's just and then when you consider that there's an estimated 5,100 children currently living in foster care because they have detained or deported parents and nearly 15,000 more children are expected in the next 5 years. That's like a really powerful thing that she's doing. And within the first 6 months of 2011, ICE deported 46,000 parents of U.S. citizen children in one in four of all deportation cases. So, like, that's a lot of children to lose their parents and to lose their stability and to lose their support system and to lose everything about their way of life, not to mention if they were already uprooted once, you know. And then there's areas where the local police act as immigration enforcement. And so, children in foster care were 29% more likely to have a detained or deported parent, which is a study that found secure communities created deportation hotspots, and immigration victims of domestic and gender-based violence are significantly at a greater risk of losing their children. 1 in 9 cases studied involved domestic violence. So it's just like a lose-lose situation for immigrants. Like if I'm an immigrant and I'm being abused, I can't tell the police because I'll be deported and I will have to leave my child behind if I have a child with me. If I'm trying to get into a better community, I can't because if I do and they do checks, I'm running the risk of being deported and leaving my child behind. So it's just, this is why this topic is important, because not only are we affecting the lives of people who just want a better life, but we're affecting the lives of their children as well. And if you want to step away from the people aspect, we're actually harming our own economy by sending people back home to wherever home is for them, even though it's not technically their home because the United States has become their home. There are tons of immigrants who come here and they don't just work jobs that are like tomato farms and whatever other stereotypes there are. They work like really important jobs, like before when I said that there's teachers and there's guidance counselors and there's so many different places that these people go into work, and we're just taking them out of these jobs, taking them out of the impact that they're making on people's lives and the fact that they're giving into our economy because they're here, they're working, they're giving money, they're paying bills, they're buying materials and all of this other stuff, and they're supporting our economy, but we're sending them home. And even though we do that, we still don't put other people into jobs, or these people are working jobs that other people don't want to work. So, like the stereotypes of them going into tomato farming and contracting businesses and all of that stuff. That's because other people don't want to work those jobs, but they do because they want a better life, and they know that doing these jobs will get them a better life, or allow them to bring their children here or bring their families here for a better life and get them out of a situation that's horrible. So we're actually hurting ourselves by hurting other people when you think about it. So
And then hurting the children.
So it's just a really messed up cycle that we're creating here by continuously deporting people. And with the number of cases that has flooded the child welfare system, it's at the expense of U.S. tax dollars. The U.S. reportedly spends $22 billion on children in foster care annually, which averages to $40,000 per child. Hey, that could pay my tuition. and so, like, there's just so many little things that we're doing that's just actually hurting America more than it's making America great again. Thanks, Donald Trump. So I don't think that people think about the cycle enough. And while trickle-down economics doesn't work, this type of thing does have a trickle-down effect on communities and on people's lives and on the economy and on the welfare system. And it's just a big cycle of destruction, of destroying people's lives. So that's kind of really how I feel. So, Donald Trump. This dude. I just don't... Considering, when you consider everything that I have literally just said tonight, including the act, like, the entirety of immigration laws, I don't understand how people can support Donald Trump in his idiotic idea of wanting to build a wall. Oh, and... And, like, oh, my God, who are we? Are we China? We're not China. We don't need a wall. It's a great wall, China. It's a great wall. But we don't need one. Literally. But we don't need one. Mm-hmm. And it's just, like,
That's, like, more money that we don't have to spend.
Yeah,
like,
he's,
that we,
like,
don't even have.
He's exactly. Money that we to spend.
We could totally put it onto other things that need help. Mm-hmm. Like, the education system.
Yes, he wants to spend, like, $80 billion or something to build this wall. Yeah. And it's just, like, $80 billion will... Going to the education system and education reform will make it so that we don't have to pay for school, or at least not as high of a amount for schools across this country. So, like, why would you spend all that money on building a wall that people can probably figure out how to scale in the first place, when you
could
fix a system?
There's always going
to
be loopholes. Always.
You could fix the welfare system. You could fix the... And that includes, like, the child welfare system. You could fix the fact that we have homeless people on the streets. You could fix the fact that our vets don't get any real benefits. Mm-hmm. And even if they do get benefits, they have all these stipulations that go with them. Like, there's so many things that we could fix. And Donald Trump is sitting here telling us that we need to build a wall to make America great again. We don't need a fucking wall. We just need... We need other things. We need, like, reform.
Okay, like, sorry, like, okay, one, like, what really, really irritates me is when he says make America great again. Like, what America are you talking about exactly?
Because literally, because I don't remember any of it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then like two, like he wants to increase spending for the military, which the military gets. I think the military gets the most money out of all.
And not only does the military get the most money out of all, when you look at how it's broken down, it doesn't go to the veterans. It goes to making machines and guns and tanks that we don't need, because guess what? The machines and guns and tanks from last year are the same exact ones that you're making this year. So, and guess what? We haven't been to war, so none of them are broken.
He wants to spend more money sending people to war, but not taking care of them when they come back. That's what really irritates me about Republicans, is because they want to talk about, oh, taking care of our veterans, when literally every single time a law comes into the Senate and House to for veteran benefits, Republicans do vote no on it. So, like, that's just something that really irritates me. You can go ahead and say what you were saying. I get on the I had a rant.
We have to get our rage out.
I just think it's so funny because he's like, let's build this wall, and that would somehow fix all this immigration quote-unquote problems we're having right now. But a lot of the times, like, yes, people still come through by crossing the border illegally, but a lot of the times it's people getting these visas and just kind of staying here, not leaving. And it's like so dumb, because it's like, that's kind of how mostly people do it. But he doesn't understand. I feel like he just thinks everybody just crosses the border for some weird reason. And, like, that's still a way to get through. But there's a bunch of ways.
Exactly.
A lot of people come into this, like, country.
Building a wall is not really going to change.
It's not
that
going
much.
To. It's just billions of dollars just going into.
Yeah.
Freaking us a cement wall that we don't need.
It's
going to
magically end when we build this wall.
Exactly.
Like, no.
Yeah, it's no. Like, it's not going to fix our problems. It's not going to fix an immigration problem. Like, there's, okay, first of all, can we just talk about how stupid it is to build a wall along the border of a different country? Like, one, political lines really don't mean crap in the long run. Second, there are two coasts. There's Hawaii as well, and there's also Alaska. So there's other ways for people, there's other places for people to go and people to get in. So it's just like, building a wall isn't going to do anything unless you want to, like, I don't know, like, close everything and then all of our ports and all of that stuff, which doesn't work because...
That's our economy!
That's our economy, so what are you... Like, I just... some things just don't make sense.
Nothing makes sense. That comes out of his mouth.
Literally, like, he's just such, like... It's just spewing, like, everything that comes out of his mouth is just ignorant hatred for, like, other human beings who aren't doing anything wrong, who are simply trying to come here and make a better life for themselves and their kids. Like,
yeah, it's...
Donald... Okay, and I'm hoping that the rest of you listeners have heard about the White House representative saying that Trump has been disqualified for presidency. I hope that that's actually true, because... The idiots who want to put him into office, you know, like, what are you thinking? So, hopefully this is true, because I do not want him. Literally, like, can you just imagine what America would be if Trump were president? We'd literally go back to, like, the 1900s. Like, the 1950s. Oh, segregation. Ridiculous.
It would be horrible.
It would be horrible.
It would be just...
Yeah, and not to mention that we'd probably find ourselves in more war, more conflicts, because if you haven't noticed already, I'm gonna bring it to your attention right now that Donald Trump and all of the things that he says mirrors Hitler. And you know, I don't like comparing people to Hitler, because like, who wants to be compared to Hitler? Who wants to, like, say that somebody's going to bring as much devastation to the world as this one man did? And while Donald Trump isn't as charismatic as Hitler was, he's still saying the same things. Mm-hmm. He's still getting a bunch of people behind him. Like, come on, GOP. This is why America doesn't really like you, because
look at your people mm-hmm. and look at who they're just supporting mm-hmm. Donald Trump in his bigotry.
Mm-hmm. Like Donald Trump is doing the exact same thing Hitler was doing, blaming a certain group of people for their country's problems. Hitler exactly. blamed the Jews for Germany's problems. Donald Trump is blaming Muslims and immigrants for America's problems. That's not...
You know what?
Open your eyes, people!
Yeah, you didn't like, want all these immigrants coming here mm-hmm. and then fucking Columbus could have fucking went back to Europe, you know?
Yeah.
Fuck that shit.
Like, yeah, like, America, that's the other people. Thing. Like, outside of blacks and Native Americans, everyone who is here in this country is a descendant of some form of someone who was once an immigrant. Mm-hmm. And I exclude blacks because we didn't come here on purpose. Mm-hmm. So,
exactly.
We didn't want to be here. So, now we're living in this country where other immigrants or descendants of immigrants are telling other descendants of immigrants, oh, hey, your descendancy doesn't go back far enough, mm-hmm. so you need to leave.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to put it out there. Your skin is too dark, so you need to leave, mm-hmm. basically, is what it comes down to. So I just don't see how that's really fair. That's really, like, something that we should be doing here in America when supposedly it is the land of the free and the home of the brave, and you can pursue your happiness here, because that is the first sentence of the Constitution, right? So I just... Immigration and the ideas around immigration needs to change, and there needs to be reform to make it a better thing for people. It needs to supply support to families who are coming here, because literally, with the exceptions of blacks, every family who has come to the U.S. has come to find a better life. That's really what it is. Mm-hmm. And they found it here. And so why are we trying to stop other people from finding it?
I think that we should do this next semester. We could spend a whole hour, a whole show talking about the GOP and the bigotry of the GOP and Donald Trump and the presidential race. I think that we should, because we could spend the whole hour talking about
Do you really think that's a good idea for me?
I think so that it's rage. A good release all your
I just thoughts. Thought like I feel like I've like a lot of people at first didn't take Donald Trump seriously.
I didn't
like for like who cares, you know, like
he's not gonna get far
and then look at what we're on now, like
people
needed to take him seriously since the beginning. Mm-hmm. I don't understand why people just didn't like stop him that first time he said something very mm-hmm. offensive, like no, okay, bye, kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. Needed to get this far, needed mm-hmm. to be all over the media. Mm-hmm. Like he wants to keep going at it. Mm-hmm. He just keeps saying shit just to like get under people's skins. Mm-hmm. And then what do we have? We have like a CNN special, freaking an hour long thing about fucking Donald Trump. And I'm like, I'm so done with like talking over like over and over again about Donald Trump.
Like
it's so mm-hmm. so dumb, and it's like we should just stop listening to him. But of course people are still listening to him, somehow fucking supporting him. And I'm like, what's wrong with you? And that's another my gosh.
Still to this day, I still think that he himself is a joke, but the fact that people are taking him seriously and supporting him is
like
ridiculous.
I mean, people also took Hitler as a joke in the beginning,
exactly.
but look at where he got.
And then
another comparison.
Exactly.
Open your ass, people.
Yeah, that's what I'm like.
Like, literally, like, I honestly think that if he were to be elected to presidency, maybe not a mass genocide would maybe it wouldn't happen, but like a mass deportation would happen, because he's explicitly said that he would do that.
Mm-hmm. And it doesn't just include people from like Latin America. He's actually all by himself creating another war with the Middle East, mm-hmm. with ISIS. And I'm just like, we just spent the last 3 presidencies
in the middle of this war, trying to get out of this war, trying to stop killing people who don't need to be killed, stop sending our own people into being killed. We don't need that much damn oil. We have Alaska. So we also have California. I mean, if you go to California, there's just a big space of oil drills.
Honestly,
so come on, people, like, get it together. This is like, this is not even a war about people's beliefs or protecting people or anything like this. This is a political and economic war, and it needs to stop. And Donald Trump will only continue it. And Donald Trump will only send people who into bad situations, people who are trying to get out of those bad situations. And not to mention that Donald Trump is sexist, and he's also he's also racist. Like, I don't care. I really don't care if you don't believe that Donald Trump is not racist. If you look at his Twitter, if you look at the fact that he says all of the, he literally says word for word what neo-Nazis say, Donald Trump is a racist. We don't need somebody like that being our president. We don't need people from foreign countries sitting there saying, oh, wow, America is going to the shitter. Like, I have friends from around the world, and one of the things that they said to me is that I'm going to pray for you in your country, because if Donald Trump becomes president, that's a problem.
We're literally,
and I was like, I'm leaving.
So we're gonna become a joke. Like, what, if how is it ever going to be? Oh my gosh, I'll be so disappointed.
We are running out of time.
Yes,
so
we are.
If there's any closing statements that you guys want to make really quickly.
Do you have any closing statements, Dahlia?
I think hate Donald Trump. And and just listening to immigrant stories will make the biggest difference. Because once you stop hearing everything that ignorant people have to say and really get to know what immigrants need to go through, they become more real. And I think that's what people are getting scared of, is like, these are real people with real lives, with real emotions, with real aspirations for themselves. And honestly, they just come here and they look at this country like it is a safe haven and something that, like, my dad loves it. He became like a naturalized citizen. He loves it. And it's just really sad when, like, I hear half of America saying, you guys are a piece of shit, you should go back. And I'm like, we just wanted a good life. And, like, I feel like the more people get to know immigrants, the better I feel it's going to go. Because, I mean, unless horrible people.
Like, and I think that if we stop othering people, if we stop making it into a this is me against you thing, and we sit here and we realize that this is a humanity thing, then maybe we won't have issues like this, and maybe we can find a way to reform our immigration laws and policies to make it so that we are bringing people in and we are welcoming with open arms. And while America never has really truly opened their arms to people without some sort of stipulation, I think that we definitely need to take a page out of the book that was used back when we first had immigrants coming here in America. And so I'm going to close with that. If you find that you are blaming an immigrant for something, I think you should take a look at the U.S. policies and laws before you blame a specific person or a specific group of people, because it's not their fault. The fault lies in us as a nation.
Also, I would like to invite anybody that is hearing this, and of course you too, if you want to continue this conversation about immigration, a lot of our VIVA meetings are centered of what's going on with Latin America now, and overview and how to kind of stop this hatred. So welcome you, anyone who wants to continue about good old social problems, Viva.
All right, guys. So
this has been chocolate milk, and we hope you have had a thoughtful,
informative
discussion with us tonight, and you continue to have a thoughtful and informative discussion. So good night.
Definitely have a good winter break. Happy Hanukkah. Merry Christmas.
Kwanzaa.
Just
a good old winter.
Yeah. So check out Viva. So see you guys next semester.